want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely, as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
And the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. We hear a lot nowadays about dredging up those things which are behind, raking through them. The Apostle Paul took the view that the cross has already dealt with all of that and it doesn't need to be raked over again. And he says in 1 Corinthians 13, one of the characteristics of love is that it keeps no record of wrongs. And if you want to really simplify your life, just scrap all the records of wrongs that you've been keeping in your head or on paper or in the letters or wherever. Forget about it. It eliminates all other options, because we are commanded to love. It's going to simplify your life. Make up your mind, what is the one thing you want in life? Discard the records of wrongs. Eliminate all options which are contrary to love. When we're in a quandary about what to do about some decision or somebody, a great simplifier is to remember that love is going to show you what to do, especially if it's a matter with somebody who's difficult to get along with, or somebody with whom you've had an argument or a falling out, and you don't know what to do. Love will show you what to do. And that most beautiful prayer of commitment, Mary's response when the angel told her about the assignment that God had given to this simple, humble Jewish girl in this out-of-the-way place called Nazareth, her immediate response was, "Be it unto me according to thy word. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen as you say." I love that. Instant, unhesitating, total response of surrender. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. And scholars tell us that she was probably at the most 14 or 15 years old, a child, because she was at that time betrothed, which was the custom in those days, and she was betrothed, as we know, to Joseph. But instantly, instead of any arguments about what about my plans, what am I going to tell the people in the town about this pregnancy, how am I ever going to convince my parents, and what on earth, what will I tell Joseph? Isn't it interesting that Mary was not asked to lead any special kind of life, to go into seclusion, or to cultivate any special privileges? She went ahead with her marriage. She was to live the life of a poor village carpenter's wife in a humble home in a nowheresville called Nazareth. And she was to do just what she planned to do. God didn't give her any other assignment but that she was to become the mother of his son. She was going to carry out the plans that she'd made when she never had any idea that anything extraordinary was going to happen. But I've thought about a lot about the fact that God had this secret with her, which he guarded at the cost of this little bride's seeming dishonor. You remember that Joseph did think that she had been unfaithful, because it says that he had made up his mind to put her away privately. He was a just man. He did not want to put her in public disgrace. But as a godly Jew, he could not marry her if she had been unfaithful. And Mary had not made any explanations to Joseph. It was too great a mystery. She was able to keep her mouth shut. And God then sent his angel, and he took care of that. The angel went to assure Joseph that she had not been unfaithful. But God did allow Joseph to misjudge her for a while. That must have been very painful. But love powerfully simplifies. We worry, we stew, we figure, we calculate about so many things. And the Lord is just saying, love me, and I'll show you what to do. Ask me, I'll help you. Mary was asked for the gift of her body, her humanity, in order that Jesus Christ could be born in the way that every other baby is born, as a human being, in sorrow and in suffering. And then, of course, her daily life was offered in love to that baby, as is the life of every mother when she gives birth to a child. God did not ask her to separate from Joseph. She was to continue to live her life as a wife in simple human tenderness and to love him as a wife is to love her husband. And we women have probably the advantage of understanding a tiny bit more than men, not that we ever can comprehend the mystery of Christ in a human womb, but we are made to be receivers and bearers and nurturers. And Paul's word, Christ in me, the hope of glory, is a word for all of us, men and women alike. But as a woman, it means a tremendous lot to me to realize that I am a Christ bearer. Every one of us is meant to be a Christ bearer to the world, to the light of the world. And as I learn to love him, and as I lay down my life for him, and I love others through him, and he loves others through me, life becomes much less complicated. That staggering statement, Christ in me, the hope of glory from Colossians, it is incomprehensible, isn't it? It's a great mystery. I get many letters from radio listeners asking me all kinds of questions about theology and everything else under the sun. They expect me to be able to answer them all, and of course I can't. And many of the questions are, how can God do this? Or how am I supposed to do that? Or how could God expect me to do so-and-so and so-and-so? And very often, the only thing that I can answer to them, I don't know what God wants them to do in this or that situation. But I simply try to point out to them that love will show you what to do. If you ask yourself, will this be the road of love? Or is it something else? All the other options can go. God will show you. And he is not going to complicate your life. He is going to greatly simplify it. The third thing under this heading, love's great compulsion, love surrenders. When you give up your right to yourself, then you take up the cross. Now, what does that mean? That seems to puzzle so many people. Imagining, perhaps, that the cross is something like what Betty Scott Stamm did. She got her head chopped off. And we read the stories of missionary heroes, and we think, oh, that's marvelous. Isn't that wonderful? And God's never asked me to do anything like that, and he probably never will. And we wish, perhaps, way deep down in our hearts, that God might, if he wanted us to do something really great for him, that he would give us something heroic. And God is not very likely to give very many of us anything very heroic to do, is he? He asks us to take up our cross daily. And what is that? I love the definition given by an old writer. The taking up of the cross is the humble daily acceptance of small duties which are distasteful to us. The taking up of the cross is the continual daily acceptance of small duties which are distasteful to us. Give up your right to yourself, take up the cross, and lastly, follow. Love surrenders. When Jesus called the disciples away from their fishing nets, it was an instant, yes, Lord. All their livelihood left behind. One can't help wondering, what was it about this figure of Jesus that so overwhelmed them? and demanded instant obedience. It was the compulsion of love. But why? When you fall in love, it is the desire of every real woman, every true woman, every feminine woman, to submit to her husband. There's nothing in the world that I wanted more than anything else than to submit to Jim Elliot. I fell in love with him when I was a senior in college, and I hoped and prayed and desperately prayed that someday the Lord might give him to me as a husband, but it was many years before he did. But that's what I wanted. Although I am anything but submissive by nature, there's not a submissive atom in me by nature. Don't imagine that there is. Falling in love, you just lose all your bearings. And everything that you thought you had to have goes because of your one single desire for this person, this man. And of course I would submit to him, and of course I would live to please him, and of course I would agree with everything he said, and of course I would go anywhere he wanted me to go. But you get over that, don't you? And you're looking at a woman who has had to learn to submit not just to one man or two men, but three very different men. So love for Christ, be we man or woman, surrenders. Whatever God wants to give me, I will receive. And in the receiving, I receive God. A steadfast heart. I have made up my mind. I will follow you. I will take up my cross. I will give up my right to myself. And I'm not going to change my mind.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.